She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties. Well, upstate New York might be underwater too.
They get some crawfish and they boil them shits up and they are happy as clams.
It's never been the most stable of states, metaphorically and physically.
They like feeding kids the animals.
We are a society that has social media and podcasts and things like that that aren't always good.
Why write this fucking story?
Actually, we're having a pretty good discussion for how horrible this book is.
Hello, besties. So before we start anything, Piper gave me a hard time about my outfit. And I go, ma'am, the only people that see me are you guys, and the filming is from waist up. And she goes, but what if you stand up? You've been known to stand up.
You have.
So I'm going to do it for you.
You have been known to stand up. What? You have stripes going two different directions. No, sir. I don't like it.
No me gusta. She's like, did you escape an asylum? What is going on?
So I finished my first first week of work. It wasn't a full week because we were closed on Monday, but I finished my first week at my new job.
It was great.
It was great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It's so cool to be working in the community where I live and being able to like see people that I know. It was great. It was a great week.
So good.
I know. I'm really happy. It was the right choice for our family. I'm home every day by 5:15.
That's amazing.
And that's only because we have a bridge out that's like it's been under repairs and it's going to be like a 2-year process. And then after that, it'll be 5 minutes because I live 5 minutes.
Damn that coastal living. Fucking hate it here too, man. If a bridge is out, we're freaking screwed.
Well, and where I live, because I live in like the coastal Virginia, Hampton Roads area, and you can't get anywhere without taking a bridge or a tunnel. So, it sucks.
It's nice to be working
in my own town, and I can get to work in 5 minutes because the bridge is open going that direction, but it's closed coming the other way. So, it's not so bad, but I like my coworkers so far. I like my boss. Beautiful. I already knew I would like her because she's a friend of mine. It was really great. It was really great.
It's been a quiet week here. Finished working on Renfair stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working on the giant mushroom, which I started shaving that down, but that is a harder process than I thought it was going to be. So,
what are you making it out of?
So I first started with cardboard and chicken wiring to shape it, and then I paper mache'd it, and then I used like foam, like spray foam, to like kind of give it a form. And now I'm using the spray foam to like shape. I'm carving the spray foam with like a turkey knife kind of thing, like one of those electric ones. But it's not doing the job, so I'm gonna have to go get one of those hot wire bullshits, and then I'm gonna have to do another layer of foam. It's going to be pretty when it's done. It's just I'm learning what it's like to be a set builder. And I don't know if I like it. But I have a giant mushroom in my house. I have to finish it.
James got back from camp today. And he made the next rank. So at his Court of Honors, which is in a couple of weeks, he'll get the next rank. So he's ranked up twice in less than a year.
Good for him. That's amazing.
He's doing great. I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, that's what's going on here.
We're getting the fall vibes here.
It was cooler this morning. It was like in the 50s.
Yeah, we did a bonfire last night. The kids were fucking wild.
The
fire and darkness make kids wild for some reason.
Yeah. My allergies are kicking up really bad. I usually only have spring allergies, but since we moved to Virginia, I have spring and fall. I'm allergic to
since the world. Moving to Maryland, I've learned I'm allergic to the outdoors.
I'm allergic to outside. People laugh at me when I'm like, people laugh at me when I come back from like Cubs camping trips because I always have some sort of like thing going on and they're like, what is going on? I'm allergic to outside. That's why I stay inside.
Yeah, I'm an indoor cat. See, if as long as I take my allergy pill every single day, mm-hmm. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But if it gets thrown off at all, I'm screwed. Yeah. God, this is such old people talk. How about we talk about something that's
Wait, I got to tell you one more thing that's old people talk.
Oh, God. Like our soup conversation. I fucking love soup.
I do love soup, but that wasn't it. This morning at church, because we're filming on a Sunday, there was a girl in the praise band that was wearing a dress and Converse and doing Disney knees.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, gosh. I can't do the Disney knees anymore. I'm too old for that shit. But the dress and Converse, seriously. I was like, oh, my gosh, it's back.
Girl after my own heart. Yay.
It's back. Yeah. All right. We're so. Back. All right, so let's talk about this book.
Okay, this week we are covering The Light Pirate by Lily Brooks Dalton. Some sad news for you, gang. This has nothing to do with pirates. Nothing to do with pirates.
I'm glad I read another book for this checkmark.
I'm kind of mad at myself because I was trying to kill two birds with one stone here. And this book is super fucking popular on the TikTok, so I don't know what's wrong with
you fuckers. I've never seen it on TikTok.
I get on the bougie side of TikTok with my reading on my
personal. I am so shocked about that because that is not what you like reading. You don't like pretentious books.
No, I don't. But the bougie readers and the horror readers and the sci-fi and like the scary readers that I follow kind of all are on the same like trajectory. Okay,
but those people also recommended No One Left to Find You.
Yeah.
Or to Come Looking for You. No One Left to Come Looking for You, which was by far the worst book we've ever read. A Big Swiss gives it a run for its money.
I don't know. Ice Planet Barbarians was pretty rough.
It was bad writing, but at least there was fucking.
And there was content we got from it. Mm-hmm. Content. I bet we can get content from this. Let's find out. So, would you like a Molly Biggs synopsis?
Yes.
Okay, Spanky. So, this book is broken into four sections, gang. Mm-hmm. There's no chapters. There's no nothing. So, I kind of broke the synopsis down that way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now that everybody's on deck, to the reading. The Light Pirate follows the life of Wanda, a girl born during one of the worst hurricanes of its time for Florida. This book is broken into four parts: power, water, light, and time. During power, we meet Frida Kirby, Kirby's boys from another marriage, Flip and Lucas. They are preparing for Hurricane Wanda. Yes, this child is named after the hurricane she was born in.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting into semantics yet, guys. Which is expected to be bad. Things start to turn from bad to worse when the boys take off just before the wind picks up and the rain is falling. Oh, and Frida has just started labor. We also meet Phyllis during this section, an older neighbor who has seen the signs and has been a prepper for years. And the next section is called Water. During Water, we fast forward 10 years. Wanda is in school and life in Florida looks a lot different. Abandoned homes, barely filled grocery stores, and fuel shortages, just to name a few things. The weather has taken back the peninsula. The government is trying to evacuate Miami, and no one seems to care about what's happening in the Everglades of Rudder, the small town where this is set.
Mm-hmm.
All Kirby is trying to do is keep his daughter safe. What that looks like and how he can do that changes quickly in this section. Choices are made, and events happen that change Wanda's life forever. During Light, Wanda goes from 16 years old to being an adult with the guidance of only Phyllis. That's right. In the last section, her dad died. Dun, dun, dun. Florida is now a wild place underwater. The power is slowly leaving the state. Cell phone towers are going out. No one's repairing them. And the grocery stores haven't been filled in years. It is every man for themselves in Florida. This change after an things change after an intruder comes to Phyllis's home. She and Wanda make a nest in the trees of the Everglades to stay alive. We meet Bird Dog, someone who is from Wanda's past that changes how she sees strangers. During this last section, it's called Time, we read to the end of Wanda's life and see how community has spread and how the world has changed for her and the people around her. Mm-hmm. And that is the best synopsis I could get out of this book, gang. Mm-hmm. And that is as detailed as I could get without, like, telling you the whole book in a synopsis.
I mean, I feel like you did tell the whole book, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, the book
had
That was the only, yeah, it was...
That was the key factors of this book. Mm-hmm. We both listened to the audiobook of The Light Pirate. Mm-hmm. The structure seemed off from the start. What did you think of this book being broken into four parts? Does it seem to make sense for this author?
I don't know this author in any other context. I mean,
by the writing style.
I understand. I don't like books without chapters. And I think I texted you when I was maybe like about 40% through the book. And I was like, hey, are there chapters? Because I don't hear chapters.
Yeah.
Now, the book does have like breaks in it. So they feel like chapter breaks, but they're not numbered. And come on, just give me a chapter. I can't stand this.
This is what it is. So, like, you stop here and you go here. But in the audiobook, it's a...
Right. There's not...
And then the no real pause.
And audiobooks without chapters are really challenging because you don't know where you can stop.
You may be stopping mid-sentence.
You may be stopping mid-sentence. You may be stopping on the last sentence... Before the final sentence.
This is most of the first section right here.
Yeah. I think the longest section is water.
Which it is. It was, what, 3 hours of the audiobook? 4 hours
of the audiobook? It's definitely not divided into four quarters. It's not equal parts.
What was frustrating for me is I added this based off the cover. We've discussed this before. We do this. We have
too much going. I don't know why this cover was inspiring to you.
Because it doesn't matter. But then I went and read the synopsis, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the synopsis gave me this preview of a girl with superpowers in a post-apocalyptic world. Yeah. That's what drew me in.
Right.
And then we start listening, and the first 2 to 4 hours is this woman in fucking labor.
Mm-hmm. Like, and a missing boy.
I
have to say, I thought I would like this one because dystopian is a favorite genre of mine. And this book is described as for fans of Station Eleven, which is a favorite book of mine. I did an episode with Chezzy when you were sick that we talked about Station Eleven and how much we both loved it. And that's a really great episode. I highly recommend going back and listening to it. We'll link it below. But I thought for sure this is going to be a girl fixing things, and there's no resolution in this book whatsoever.
None. Honestly, this point, the more we get into this, you guys are going to understand how pointless this book is.
Yeah,
I promise you that.
So, and the big discussion we've been having is how do we fill the content? Because there just isn't, there's no point to the story.
So we started talking about this. We started with almost 2+ hours of this book building up to the birth of our main character.
Mm-hmm.
Was the buildup even worth it in this first chapter?
I think you had to set the scene of how traumatic this hurricane was going to be. Especially if you're someone that's never been through a hurricane, you don't necessarily know how truly traumatic they are.
Which they are.
They are traumatic. And being the fact that you were in the Coast Guard, we were both stationed in Houston. I lived in Florida. Tom was at one time stationed in the Florida Keys, which just gets rocked with hurricane.
I was in Corpus. Let me tell you what, Corpus Christi is not fun during a hurricane.
Yeah. So we do have experience with hurricanes, and so I think it's a little bit different, our take on it. I 100% buy that Floridians would not be leaving. They'd be like,
no,
we're going to ride it out.
The premise of Florida Man sets this up.
Yeah. So I think that scene setting is important. I think you really need to feel a sense of loss, but I don't think we did enough to establish the family so that we could feel Frida and Flip's loss.
Yeah. And we get a whole, like, the person we get the most background about and the person that we focus on the most is Frida. And she fucking dies in this chapter.
She dies.
Like, we get all this information about mm-hmm. her life and her, and we never fucking talk about her again, really.
I mean, we get never glimpses really. Back but where we get Wanda like little talks things about where, the mom that she didn't know and why did she
or Kirby's Wanda. Like where Kirby there's a moment in the book where Kirby's like, oh, I've made her into a saint by now. She would have done this. But like, it is not mm-hmm. as much time as they spent on making her a priority. Mm-hmm. She wasn't as big in the storyline later as I expected.
And I also think they didn't do a good enough job establishing from the get-go that these hurricanes were worse than normal. So right. you don't know about the hurricane categories. When you hear Cat 4, you don't necessarily know that yeah. it's on a scale that is really high.
Yeah, so Cat 1 4, to 5.
Yeah, Cat 4 can wipe out whole communities. And the first year that I lived in Florida was the year of Hurricane Katrina. And mm-hmm. that's the storm people remember because there was so much devastation with it.
Destroyed poor New Orleans.
Well, right. But what actually happened was the storm was over and the levees broke. So everyone was back in their homes. And that's why there was so much death in this. They were released to go back to home and then yeah. the levees broke. But I lived in Florida when Katrina happened. And what people don't realize is that because Katrina was such a big deal, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't deflect from that, but there were 5 hurricanes that hit Florida prior to Katrina.
It and they were berating that season.
It was bad. It was bad. And yeah. it was the first time I had been through a hurricane season, and my dad and stepmom as well. And I was staying with them. I was a new college graduate. I was working my first big kid job, and I was living with them to save up for rent to move out. And the first hurricane that was supposed to come through, we thought we were all set. We boarded up the house. We thought we did all the things that you need mm-hmm. to do. My dad had a backup generator. We were all set. And the hurricane hit about half an hour south of where we lived in Clearwater. And yeah. it completely wiped out an entire community. And yeah. we literally sat by the TV watching this happen going, we were not prepared. We no. were not prepared.
And even when you are prepared, mm-hmm. you aren't. Because these storms, take this from someone who was a professional in this field. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of sway when it comes to a lot of things, but I fucking worked hurricanes. Mm-hmm. It's like tornadoes. Mm-hmm. You really don't know what's going to happen till it's done.
Mm-hmm. And
it's going to come in and knock shit out, and it's going to turn and it's going to change. Yep. And if you get on the dirty side of that thing, you're mm-hmm. fucked.
And when they talk about the cone of uncertainty, like they say that so much, it's the cone of uncertainty. It's yeah. really a large area. You can't really predict exactly where it's going to hit land. But
and it can be small or big. The cone of uncertainty depends on the size of the cat too.
And sometimes it can be the entire state of Florida.
Yes.
So, and Tom, because he was in search and rescue, hurricanes were a big deal as part mm. of his job. And I just yeah. think that what this was trying to do at the beginning, I am getting to my point here. I just think what they were trying to do was establish how deadly the storm could be, but I don't think that they did a good enough job with it. We don't feel the loss of Frida and Flip. I mean, I felt the loss of Flip because a little boy dying in a storm, like, that crushed me.
That
like,
was heartbreaking.
It was so heartbreaking. And also, side note, for any of you lit nerds like me, if you've ever read The Scarlet Ibis, which is a short story that I used to actually teach in Florida, that story of how the two brothers like go out in the storm and the fallen Ibis, the younger brother mm-hmm. dies, that story very much comes into play in this book.
Yeah.
It's almost like the exact same thing. But I think we have to feel a loss because why is everybody so pissed off that she's named Wanda? Why does everybody hate her so much? It wiped out most of the community.
Yeah.
And so I think we needed that.
It didn't have the impact the author wanted.
And they do refer to it as the deadliest storm in Florida history. Right.
And you know,
which means it has to be worse than Hurricane Andrew, which yeah. was a Cat 5.
Yeah. So here's the problem with hurricanes like that. The 4s can sit put. mm-hmm. and just spin in locations. And
dump water.
And mm-hmm. it'll slowly rotate and push mm-hmm. through. But because it's going so bloody slow, mm-hmm. it just... It's an etch-a-sketch. It's just mm-hmm. shaking everything clean and clear in the land.
And not everybody knows this, but hurricanes can create tornadoes. Mm-hmm. Because of the wind, they can create tornadoes. So now you're in the middle of a hurricane and yeah. a tornado. And they do describe with Frida, she describes when it was the calm of the storm. She knows she's mm-hmm. in the eye because there's no movement at all. It's very, very calm. And that's when she's actually giving birth to Wanda. But all of this makes it sound like this was like a very detailed description.
No,
but we're putting more into it because we have experience with this. If you're a reader yeah. that's never experienced a hurricane, you cannot do that.
You're not, exactly. And we used what we knew to relate to this.
Exactly.
But if you grew up in central Massachusetts, you're not going to fucking ever relate to this book.
I mean, I grew up in Ohio. It's only because I lived in Florida for 5 years.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, yeah. you have to have this. This is a lived experience for mm-hmm. somebody, you know? Mm-hmm. And, okay, so the other question I have attached to this, labor in a hurricane?
Fuck that. I've never thought about that before, but shit.
You know how many women go into labor during those kind of situations?
Well, the
you
pressure
changes. Harvey babies there was? The Harvey babies there were.
Do you know what it made me think of, though? And you're going to think this is funny. Do you remember how April Kepner gave birth in a storm?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're making it to be... this.
And they're using Ellis Gray's surgical...
This is Grey's Anatomy. For those of you who are not fans of Grey's Anatomy,
we always talk about Grey's.
Side note to Grey's Anatomy a lot. So they're talking about how this is a terrible storm in Seattle, and mm-hmm. then they have a stock shot of rain, and there's somebody riding their bike. And I was just like, you couldn't have picked a better stock shot than
Grey's.
April can't make it to the hospital because of the storm, but there's somebody out riding their bike. Come on. Come on, Grey's.
Get your life together.
Get your shit together, Grace.
This book has been compared to Night Circus, a book you're a massive fan of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think the comparison held up?
Right there. It's right there on the shelf.
I see it.
No. I don't see the Night Circus in this at all. I see why they would compare it to Station 11 because it's supposed to be like a disaster. But one of the things I was telling Tom about this book.
Station 11. I wrote Night Circus. I meant Station 11. My apologies.
Oh, I thought maybe it was both, but okay.
It is cool. A little bit of both, but sure.
Yeah, I can't see Night Circus at all, but I talked to Tom about this because I often talk to him about our books, and I told him my issue.
And then he listens to us talk about these books. Congratulations, Thomas.
Yeah. My issue with comparing this to Station 11 is Station 11 was a virus that wiped out most of civilization. This is hurricanes that are taking out
Florida. Natural disaster.
We do learn later that there's fires taking out California. And I know I read through, there's another song.
I didn't sing anything. I said California. Didn't sing
California?
No, oh. I just said it long.
California. Oh, I thought you sang California.
I didn't sing, you did shit.
Okay, so we do learn that the fires and all that. And I read your notes and I think you have a question about this. So I'm sorry I'm jumping ahead, but
that's okay.
I think what the point of this book is that climate change is going to affect us all.
And, more than we think.
And slowly we're going to be wiped out and we're going to have to figure out how to survive. And basically because life finds a way to quote Jurassic Park. We find a way, but it takes the entire book to get to that point. It's literally the last paragraph that you're like, oh, okay, that's what this is.
Yeah. And you know what's irritating? Yeah. So, again, we're jumping forward because that's mm-hmm. what we fucking do here. I read the acknowledgments when mm-hmm. I brought this home, the physical book home.
Mm-hmm.
She thanks, like, a bunch of climate scientists. She did more research for this book than she did writing this book, I think.
But she did not translate it well. She did not translate it well. And I think you and I were talking on the phone, which we don't do often. We often just text, but we were talking on the phone and you said something about, fuck, I just forgot what I was going to say. If I think of it, I'll say
we'll jump back.
Yeah, I forgot what I was supposed to
say. Where are we? By the end of the first part, our family is already down two people. We just got to know. People we just got to know. Do you think the intention of this, what do you think the intention of this was for the author to just kill off two characters we instantly were like supposed to fall in love
with? Well, I think this goes back to what I said before. I think it was establishing here, these are people we love and now they're dead. But
you should love them too.
Yeah, I just don't think it went there. It didn't go deep enough. No,
it didn't. It didn't go deep enough. Mm-hmm. Example, Frida's whole life story just to kill her off, right? Like it, for me, it was, I see why she did it. She wanted us to have sympathy for Frida, who's struggling with this because the hurricanes took her mom and she's about to be a mom and she's a new stepmom and blah, blah, blah. It just missed the mark. Mm-hmm. It missed the mark in so many ways. Like this could have been one of those Pulitzer bullshit winning prize books that are facetious and everybody loves. It missed it. Mm-hmm. It missed it in some way. I can't. Okay, I know exactly where
I remember what I was going to say.
Okay.
You made a comment about how you felt it was far more likely that California was going to break off.
The joke is California is just going to fall into the water.
And they're sitting on a fault, and there are a lot of people that believe, a lot of scientists that believe that that will happen.
I am 100% on that side.
And similarly, there are a lot of scientists that believe that Florida will become flooded. It's built on sand. It's never been the most stable of states.
Have you been to metaphorically Texas? And physically. Okay. I know you're not like an outdoors person, but when you lived in our Houston area, did you ever dig in your garden or anything and like dig past the first level of dirt in your house? Because it's just soil.
Yeah.
It's just soil. Like the Houston area, like I lived right halfway between Houston and Galveston in a town called League City for those playing the home game. Mm-hmm. April knew where I live.
I lived in League City.
Yeah. And my garden was like in the actual ground. And you dig, and the first layer of soil is like this much. And after this, it's just dark sand. Mm-hmm. We were literally sea level miles, 20 plus miles away from.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not safe.
And one of the reasons that Walt Disney was able to buy the land in Kissimmee that he built Disney on for so cheap is because it was a fucking swamp. Literally,
it's still a swamp. Fucking swamp. It's still, it's DC. All of this area is these fucking swamps.
We saw gators when we were at Disney, and there are gators there. But
there have been gators that have eaten children at Disney.
I know.
Kids have just gone missing from their rooms, and they find like little shoes by the fucking ponds, and it's like
that's awful.
Fuck Disney, but because they're a protected animal in Florida, they can't remove them.
I mean, I don't think they're a protected animal.
Some of the animals are in the Everglades are protected.
But I don't think gators are them because they are overpopulated.
Then why is Disney leaving them? Because they like feeding kids to the animals.
No, I think it's because
they like feeding kids to the animals.
They have signs posted that you can't.
Three-year-olds can't read.
Their parents. Oh, okay. We're off topic.
Okay. I can. Yeah. So. We're about to talk about the weather thing, but I want to talk for a sec. I didn't bring this up in here, but this really tricked off a lot of my paranoia. Weather and hurricanes and like climate change is a big paranoia factor for me and my ADHD, and I am very concerned. And this just really kicked it off. I had to take a lot of breaks because of it. Now the question. Florida has been taken back by the Everglades. The oceans and hurricanes don't seem to be too far of a stretch based on what client scientists have predicted. Do you feel like this book is a realistic portrayal of the future?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Well, I do feel like preservation and protecting our Earth is important. I am a big fan of that. And this is a conversation that Tom's dad and I have had many times because he is a scientist, a geologist. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think that this is how the world will end.
I don't either. Man's going to destroy the planet before the planet can destroy man.
Well, I think the point of this book is saying that man destroyed the planet and now the planet is fighting back, basically.
I think it's just going to be a nuclear war on top of nuclear war on top of nuclear war until we're all dead.
I mean, that's possible, but I mean, famine, flood, and earthquakes and fires, I mean, those are all things that are biblical, but I just don't think it looks like this.
No.
I don't think it looks like this.
I think we're definitely going to see it get worse. We have been seeing it get worse mm-hmm. over the years, but I don't think in our generation we're going to see Florida underwater. No, I don't.
But if you study, so Tom's dad's a geologist. I am not the expert mm-hmm. on this. I'm just going to tell you what he's told me. If you study rocks and minerals, as geologists okay. do, we know stones,
things from the ground.
Yes. We know that the Earth has had many changes. Besides yes. the fact that we are no longer one land, the lands have right. split apart. The Great Lakes were formed by glaciers. Mm-hmm. We've had ice ages. We've had times where there wasn't much vegetation. Then there was a lot of vegetation. I actually watched a documentary at the NASA museum here in this area of Virginia about how Antarctica used to be a very lush and tropical area. Yeah. So we know that the world is constantly changing. Yeah. And looking at this book, Wanda has some light power, some ability. And Phyllis we'll is a scientist, yeah. and she talks about it being like an adaptation. Like yeah. this is, and at the end of the book, we see other people, other young people who have children
adapted.
Who have adapted. They've evolved. They've created adaptations that make it easy for them to survive. And I mean, that's historical. That's what's happened, right? We're no longer living in caves being excited that we created fire. Mm-hmm. We are right. a society that has social media and podcasts and things like that that aren't always good, but ours is. So, I mean,
hashtag not sponsored.
Our society always progresses and changes. And so mm-hmm. it's adapting. Think about what our kids can do that we couldn't do, Molly. Like, my kids are so smart. And I'm not just talking about the fact that they're really good at tech. They're smart.
They naturally are more observant and intelligent, and mm-hmm. it's beautiful. And yeah. the word we were looking for, friends, the word of the day is Pangea. Pangea is
I knew Pangea.
And I'm going to sing now. This bitch don't know about Pangea. So let's change the subject. It's a TikTok sound.
I don't know that.
This bitch don't know about Pangea. I will send it to you later. Let's change the subject.
Great. Something to look forward to.
You betcha. Okay. So we swap POVs randomly throughout this book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like this? Do you like this? The way this was structured? Do you think it was necessary? Tell me the thing.
Well, to be more precise, we don't change POVs. It's always third person. It just switches whose third person perspective it's from.
It doesn't. Okay, English teacher.
I know. I'm sorry. I know.
You knew what I meant.
I know, but I didn't know if our audience will, because we're telling them how bad this book is. They may not read it. So
they may not read, Molly.
Right. I don't care. I don't care that it changed perspectives. I think you get the story is fuller that way, but mm-hmm. I never felt like I cared about one character enough to care what their point of view was. What their perspective
having a book
was.
Like
maybe
this
Phyllis. I liked Phyllis.
Having a book like this in third person makes it feel detached for me in a way I can't explain.
You are 100% correct. I need a first person point of view in a story like this because I need to be part of the story.
I need to feel your feels. Mm-hmm. So since we're talking about feeling the feels, mm-hmm. let's talk about the attack on Phyllis and Wanda. We mm-hmm. go through all of this from Phyllis's point of view, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that we get the decline and loss of Phyllis through her point of view? What do you think about that and why we didn't get it through Wanda? Because I have some beef with this, but I want to hear what you think.
So a long time ago, when we first started our book club, I think James was like one at that point. The first book we read was about a woman who had Alzheimer's. And the
yes,
whole thing was first
still Alice.
Yes. And the whole thing, thank you. The whole thing was first person, and we slowly see her lose more and more of herself. Mm-hmm. And that's what this reminded me of. I think it was awesome that they chose to do all of this from Phyllis's point of view. The fact that Phyllis gets hit in the head with her shotgun, and then she recognizes she has a TBI and then slowly loses more and more and more of herself. Given the fact that my mom has a TBI, like, I'm witnessing that happen. But yeah, I think it made it more real than Wanda telling us what she was seeing or hearing what Phyllis is experiencing. But with that said, I almost think it would have been better if Phyllis would have died in the house.
See, I have a love-hate with this part of this book in this situation. The thing that bothered me about it was we get vagueness about, we know Wanda feels it, right? Mm-hmm. We understand we understand the after effects of it, and we understand what losing Phyllis has done to Wanda. It has made her more distant, harder. It has changed her, right? Mm-hmm. But watching her transition from a girl who had a grown-up to a hard woman who is alone would have been nice to have some of that purview too.
I think that Phyllis was basically Wanda as an she was the adult version of Wanda.
Oh yeah, she was. She absolutely was.
Their relationship reminded me a lot of Scout Finch and Miss Maudie Atkinson from To Kill a Mockingbird. There was a lot of life to be learned, and there were times that you could do things that ladies do. But for the most part, we got to strap on our boots and handle shit ourselves. And that was the relationship they had.
Yeah. There is a lot of characters that come in and out of Wanda's life throughout this book. Mm-hmm. What do you think the point of Bird Dog was?
I mean, I think that the connection there is supposed to be that Bird Dog is the sister of the boy and the daughter of the man who attacked Phyllis and Wanda. So I think that's supposed to be our connection. But why at the end we got a lesbian love story is beyond me.
It was unnecessary. But that boy,
the whole book, had no interest in humans at all.
And then all of a sudden she's madly in love with Bird Dog at the end. It makes no sense. That boy tried killing her many times, by the way. He tried to drown her once. That boy was very violent. But again, that's like out of pocket stuff in this book, right? Is this just random act of this boy trying to drown her and then that
I weird. Didn't connect that he was the same boy that was on the roof across from the Walmart until later in the story. Even when Phyllis said it's the twins and their dad, it still didn't connect to me until Bird Dog was like, that was my brother and dad.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it just doesn't. The math isn't mathing. Yeah. And I girl math my ass off here, folks. Mm-hmm. I girl math my ass off here sometimes. And it's just not mathing.
Yeah.
The math isn't mathing.
Yeah, it was really hard to follow.
It was so hard to follow. Okay, perfect transition into this question. Throughout this book, there are hints to the fact that Wanda is connected to the water with strange power. But the vagueness of it, why? Why not focus on Wanda's power? Why make it a background story? It feels so pointless. We have so much vagueness in this book that isn't just the power, but let's talk about the power first.
I mean, I think that Wanda is supposed to be the light pirate, right? But
yeah, that's the whole thing.
We could also say that her dad was, because he was keeping the lights on. But they never really define what her power is. It sort of looks like bioluminescence.
Yeah,
and
like
it's the water that calls to her.
And like Phyllis at one point And Phyllis at one point thinks that, like, she has a bacteria or something or a virus that is adapted in her skin that like, it emits, like, this electronic charge or something that – I don't either. I don't fucking either, man. I don't either. But it's fine.
And if it's going to be a part of the story, it needs to be more central to the story. Thank it's like you. We know that she has this, but, like, oh, we're never going to use it. It's dumb.
No lights or pirates. Fired. Right. Fired.
Right.
There is a conversation about family and community throughout this book. The author is trying to show us different slices of humanity. Do you think her point was made in this book? That's my answer to that question, by the way.
I had to really reach to figure out what the fuck the point actually was.
You know what? It's sad. It took me reading that final chapter, which is like, what? This is how much that final chapter is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get the point of this book.
Yeah.
That's in one, time section. Two, three, four, five full pages, guys. That's it. Five full pages.
And there's a lot of things that happen in this book that you don't think about in other dystopians. Like, when you think about the Hunger Games, you don't think about the fact that there's no colleges anymore.
Mm-mm.
You think about that in Station 11 because the whole world is shut down and they can't really, they're trying to rebuild civilization.
Right, but in this one.
They explicitly talk about how all the colleges have shut down. They've all gone bankrupt.
Right. Right, like, everybody's losing money. The government's not doing well. Like,
but also, where the fuck are they going to run? At one point, somebody's talking about going to Minnesota, and then when her brother comes back, he's all like, yeah, all the world is under issue, having what? Issues. And it's like, okay, so what? Where are people going to go?
I'm going to hide in upstate New York.
Well, upstate New York That's might be plan. Underwater, too.
That Yeah, Finger Lakes, the Great Lakes, fuck around. Maybe Pennsylvania or Ohio will be safe. Katie, we're coming!
Ohio has Lake Erie and the Ohio River, so...
Is it close to Katie, though? Like, how safe are we if we go to Katie's?
In the middle of the state. So, if the Ohio River and Lake Erie flooded, it's possible that Katie would be underwater.
Possible.
It's possible.
But not... We could have an island. We could be really lucky. And Katie's, like, just property just turns into a fucking island.
Okay, well, I'm going to rely on you and Tom to boat us there.
Okay, what question was that? I got two more questions and we're out of here, I promise.
Okay. Actually, we're having a pretty good discussion for how horrible this book is.
Life costs more than it gives. A quote directly from the book. The only quote that meant something to me that I could pull from this fucking stinker. There it is. The author leans in heavy to the fact that the world is constantly changing. Mm-hmm. What is the point of all this? The ending the way Florida has changed? Why write this fucking story? You can say I don't know.
I think she thinks this is a really smart book. That this I really think she thinks this is a way to, without blatantly say it, to say climate change.
Right.
Because she never outright says climate change is causing these problems, but it's the
like
point.
That's what the title should say. Climate change is bad and other problems I see in Florida.
She doesn't even get into the other problems that we see in Florida.
She mentions Florida man.
Listen, I'm telling you, there's no way all the Floridians are leaving. The whole Mm-mm. thing could be underwater and they would be like fine with it.
You've been in Houston during a hurricane. Those fuckers just hunker down. They pull out their jet skis. They get their mud boots on. They get their fucking nets out. They get some crawfish and they boil them shits up. And they are happy as clams.
And we had a hurricane our second year, second hurricane season here in Virginia as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm in inland enough that we're not in a flood zone. My entire neighborhood is a flood zone except the four houses on my end of the street.
That's wild.
So our old neighborhood, we might not flood, but how the fuck we getting out?
My old neighborhood, the Oaks, where it was, our section, and the one right on the other side of us where Anne Marie lives, because that's how I know Anne Marie, and the side where she lives is the only section that doesn't flood. The other side, on the other side of the school, all floods, like to the point they were riding jet skis around during Harvey.
Well, we don't flood, but we do have issues with trees falling down and limbs. We've lost two trees since we've lived here.
By the way, it's a dick move to pull out water sports vehicles and spray water into other people's homes during a flood. Gross. Just a thought.
The water is so dirty, too.
Right. Final question. April Goodreads, final thoughts. Did I miss anything?
I gave it a 1.
I gave it a 2. Because she can write.
I can see some merit there somewhere.
I understand the point of this book. That's why you get 2 stars. If it was any longer, it was going to go 1. No pirates, guy. Now I had to read a pirate book, you jerk.
Just read Fortunately the Milk by Neil Gaiman. It's just will take you, the audiobook is 2 hours. It's very funny.
There you go.
The boys and I read it together this summer. It was really good.
Oh, that's nice. Do you want to talk about what's coming up?
Yeah, sure. So next week, we're going to end September with The Unfortunate Side Effects of Heartbreak and Magic by Breanne Randall. And I picked this book because it has witchy vibes that Molly likes. And I was hoping to pick a book that Molly would like so that she'd let me read more romance later.
It supposedly got Gilmore. The descriptions on Goodreads are Gilmore Girls meets Practical Magic.
Yeah, and the back of the book actually talks about it has a sense of found community, like the very secret society of irregular witches, which is a book we read for Pod, and you really love.
Which I like that book.
It's okay.
I like that book a lot.
I don't typically like witchy books, so we're gonna see how this goes for me. But I like it so far.
That's a win.
Check a win. Social media, because this week we should be posting. It's either going to be this week or it was last week that we're going to be posting what's happening in October, because we have big things in October. First of all, October is 5 weeks, which is crazy. And one of those weeks, I'm going to show the book. We are actually going to be doing a live interview with Emma Berry at Novel Grounds in Chesapeake, Virginia. The book is called Bad Reputation. This is her newest book. She's delightful. So I can't wait to interview her. And that event is a ticketed event. You do have to pay to attend. Yeah. So we'll put a link below. But just know that the admission comes with a copy of the book, which Emma will sign for you. This book is kind of got the spoiler alert vibes by Olivia Dade. It's like a couple who's doing a movie. I have to say, I'm really excited for this one.
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
I am too.
It's going to be good. And normally we do spooky season in October. So all the other 4 books will be spooky. We have everything from horror romance to straight
YA?
Horror.
Guys, I didn't pick the horror. I want everyone to note that. So when someone bounces from the horror book episode, just note, I'm not the one that picked it.
Yeah. It might have been a bad call. Cardi B was trying to get you to pick it so I wouldn't have to.
Not too late. We can't take it off.
No, it's fine. I want to read it. I feel like we owe the audience a true horror.
Okay.
And that's being said by the person who had trouble who had trouble reading Pretty Little Liars with the lights off. So it's not looking good for me, folks.
It's fine. We'll be
okay. That's all I got.
That's all I got too, guys. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly and not those of anyone else. Today's book was The Light Pirate by Lily Brooks Dalton. Your Book Besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Brigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.